Item 13, from Corporation Counsel, submitting an informational monthly report providing an update on the status of pending litigation. This will also be considered by the Committee on Finance, Personnel, and Audit and is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Okay. We'll continue in open session unless we get questions that would take us otherwise.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's what I was going to say is I can provide an update in open, but if you want to have any kind of detailed discussion, I think we will need to go into closed. So there isn't a lot to talk about, I don't think, but I will just, looking at the list, number two on the list, this is a case involving the arbitration over the deputy sheriff layoffs that occurred at the end of the 2011 going into the 2012 budget. There was a dispute about how many deputies needed to be laid off, an interpretation of their collective bargaining agreement, what the right number was. There was an arbitration held. We had outside counsel who represented us in that case, and the arbitrator ruled in favor of the county's interpretation that we had laid off the correct number. The Deputy Sheriff's Association then filed an action in circuit court to review, to reverse the arbitrator's decision, and this last month, Judge Sankovitz ruled in favor of the county again, affirmed the arbitration award. There is still time for them to, the Deputy Sheriff's Association, to appeal. My guess, and it's only a guess, is that they will not, but the time has not yet run for that. So that's a favorable decision that hopefully will stand. Number three, the only minor update on that, the first case is the Hussey versus Milwaukee County case, which is in federal court. This relates to the retiree medical and the issue over co-pays and deductibles. Esther Hussey passed away recently, and so recently her estate is being added as the plaintiff in the case. That case is in the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals waiting for a decision. The decision in the lower court, the district court, was in our favor. Number four is an important case, which I think every supervisor received a copy of this decision by email. This is a decision with respect to the elimination of reimbursement for Medicare Part B premium. Milwaukee County instituted that policy by an ordinance amendment in 2011. And this is a lawsuit by the nurses and attorneys associations against the county over that change. The lower court ruled against Milwaukee County and in favor of the unions. The Court of Appeals, in a 2-1 decision, ruled in favor of Milwaukee County. I've heard through the grapevine in an unofficial way that the plaintiffs will be seeking a petition for review with the Supreme Court. They haven't done that yet, but I'm expecting that. If you want to talk about that in a little more detail, we can. Our outside counsel, Attorney Levy, who's been at the committee here before and is handling most of these pension or retirement cases, has taken that case and filed it in the other pension cases for those courts' benefit, because it is a helpful decision to the county.
Previously, while we were awaiting the Court of Appeals, we had this issue of whether or not we would file in Supreme Court. But if they file the appeal, then is it automatic that it's assumed that we are defending ourselves, that we are proceeding?
Yes. The ordinance would require the county board's approval to file a petition for review if we wanted to file it, if we wanted to continue to pursue the case. Obviously, in this case, we're not seeking that. If they do, we will automatically respond and defend. So that case, which was laid to the call of the chair, that prior resolution laid to the call of the chair, is now moot for this matter. There was another resolution, for number five that was at the call of the chair. We're still waiting for the Court of Appeals decision in that case, so that's not yet moot.
Okay.
I'm going to skip down to number seven, just to mention, as you know, if you read the newspaper, the O'Donnell Park case is obviously in trial. It's in its second week. We're expecting a 6-week trial. The county's claims for its damages, its repair costs to the structure, the loss of revenue for the structure, the parking structure, will be probably put into evidence through our witnesses in the first week of November, is my guess, or our outside counsel's guess right now. Number eight is the Christensen decree. Just a comment about that. Nothing's happening within the court, but we did have a period of approximately 2 weeks in late September, early October, if I remember right, where we began to exceed the 960 cap at the jail. There was a flurry of difficult communications between the sheriff's office and the House of Correction. Mr. Hafeman was eventually able to have some correction officers finish their training and open up another dorm. And because of that, we have been able in the last 2 weeks to come back into compliance and through more inmates being diverted from the sheriff's office, from the jail to the House of Correction. I did recently ask Inspector Schmidt if he could get me some information because we're kind of wondering whether what's causing this, if there's a spike in arrests or what's going on, so he's going to try and get me that information. The plaintiffs in the Christensen decree, the plaintiff's attorneys, are going to be making a jail inspection, which they do periodically on November 11th, where they go in and they talk to inmates about concerns and questions. They did do that when we were over the cap for a period of time. The sheriff was housing some inmates, primarily inmate workers, in one of the gyms in the jail on cots or mattresses on the floor. That has stopped, and the plaintiff's attorneys went in and interviewed those folks, but because we've gotten back into compliance fairly quickly, I think that nothing is going to happen in the court case on that issue, at least immediately. I would just then go to the last page. I don't want to talk about it any further than this, but on number 16, we've had a closed session discussion on that item, and I just wanted to let you know that we have a tentative settlement, but it came in too late for this cycle, so you'll be hearing about that next month, next cycle. Okay. Number 17 and 18 are similar cases. 17 and 18 are both public records cases that are tied to RFP processes. 17 is a public records case related to the pharmacy RFP at BHD, and 18 is the public records case related to the transit system RFP. Both cases are unsuccessful or non-recommended bidders who have then sought public records or sought all the RFP information prior to the county board making its determination on where the contract is going to go. We have held that those are still not public records until that decision is made. In number 17, the judge found that they were public records and has ordered us to release them, which we've done. And the only thing left in number 17 now is the motion for attorney's fees that has been requested by the company, by the plaintiff. We had a hearing on that yesterday. They were asking originally for approximately $115,000 in fees. Judge Van Grensven found that some of their fees were not related to this action and were excessive and asked them to go back and revise their submission, and we'll have another hearing in November on that revised submission. Number 18, we do not have a decision. Number 18 is the similar case, only in the transit system, but in that case, the judge has not rendered a decision. He may reach the opposite conclusion because circuit courts are not bound by each other, and so he may reach the opposite conclusion. We don't know at this point. So that case is actually being handled through a contract with outside counsel. Number 17 I handled personally. The last thing, and I don't think we can discuss it in open session, but I do intend to have a more extensive discussion in closed session with the Finance, Personnel, and Audit Committee with respect to Judge Colas's recent injunction decision. And so that's been specifically noted on the finance list. Like, it's too late to do it for this list. So I would encourage you to attend that closed session if you wanted to hear that discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I just have a timeline question on we have number 5 was appealed for the appellate court, and then number 12 to the Supreme Court. Can you just tell us how do we know on the one to the Supreme Court or number 12, when will we know if they're going to take up the case or take some action on it?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, the Supreme Court has no self-imposed deadlines for giving you that decision, so it's whenever they give us the decision. I would guess, and it's nothing more than a guess based on past practice, that we should get that decision within the next couple of months on whether they're going to take the case, not the actual final decision. So I'm guessing, but it could be, in theory, we may not hear until the end of the term. It's whatever they want to take. On number 5, that case is, excuse me, been fully briefed for several months now. again, the Court of Appeals has no particular deadline. Sometimes their cases, decisions are issued within about 6 months. They can go as long as a year and a half. My guess would be in the 9-month time frame, which probably would put it into next late winter, spring time frame, but it's just, again, a guess.
Thank you.
On the COLAS one, it has all I know is what I've read in the paper. Has the actual decision been made public?
To my knowledge, there is no written decision, so all that we would have access to would be a transcript if we called the court reporter to get a transcript, which we have not done. Truthfully, all I know is what I've read in the newspaper as well. Mr. Bargren has talked to the Attorney General's office to talk about their intentions with that, and I think they're intending to, you know, appeal that or seek a stay of that decision, but they haven't done it yet.
The statement that I read seemed to, Judge Cola seemed to make clear that he expected his ruling to apply broadly and not be limited to the parties. Is that?
Well, the way I understood the decision is that he expects it to apply to the commission, the commissioners. And because they have statewide jurisdiction, it will have the effect of a statewide, well,
right.
It has a broader impact than it has originally been thought to have. Now, it still is not a case to which the county is a party, Milwaukee County is a party. It does not directly implicate us. On the other hand, it may have some impact. And again, this is a subject I think we clearly want to talk about in closed session because of its impact on some of the other litigation on this list and some of the other personnel decisions that are on that agenda next week. I just hesitate to talk about it too much more in terms of strategy or what our interpretation of the decision is.
Okay. Will there be? Is there a
it's
written?
Possible. I'm sorry.
Is there a written memo that all members would have prior to that closed session so they could be prepared to engage in a discussion?
We've provided some written advice to the chairwoman, to the chairs of finance, and to the county executive, and we can talk about whether we want to provide that to the full board or whether we just do it verbally at the meeting. We also are considering whether we can do this in open session. I'm a little hesitant on that, but at the next committee meeting, the finance committee meeting, but we're thinking about that.
I'd like to request if there's a memo, I'd like to request that for members of this committee in preparation for any discussion on the topic. I think it's appropriate. The last time that there was a memo on the topic, it was released publicly before I had ever seen it. So I think we're entitled to it. Any other questions? Seeing none, we're adjourned.